Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Westport First Electman Jim Marpy is here. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much, my friend. Yeah. I'm glad to have you here because we're going town to town, city to city. We want to find out how, if anything, are things changing when it comes to COVID protocols? What's going on in Westport?
Well, as a matter of fact, yesterday I issued a statement where I used the term strongly encouraging people to wear masks in indoor public spaces. And, you know, that term public space sometimes gets confused to people thinking, oh, that just means public buildings, municipal buildings, what have you. We're talking about restaurants, stores, retail establishments, offices where people come in and are there. And so trying to encourage it rather than mandate it, quite frankly, from our perspective, enforcing a mandate is difficult. And we've actually found a lot of voluntary compliance on the part of our stores, businesses, restaurants already in terms of their employees, and that our residents understand that we're now in this condition that the CDC describes as substantial community transmission of the Delta variant. So a lot of people already taking precautions by wearing masks. And for the moment, we're strongly encouraging it. We'll see what happens as things unfold. I recognize in your news report you were talking about some of the cities here in Fairfield County and beyond who are mandating it and completely understand their rationale. And I've talked with Mayor Martin, Mayor Rilling, who are my neighbors, if you will, and make sure we understand we're all in this together. And we recognize that this virus doesn't know when it's crossed from Norwalk into Westport or vice versa. So we need to operate in a certain regional way, but I, for the moment, at least, Westport, I think, is doing a great job from a voluntary standpoint, and we continue to remain vigilant.
So, Jim, my question is, when you say you strongly encourage it, I understand what that means. Are you strongly encouraging it for everyone? The places that are mandating it, it does not matter your vaccination status. When you say you're strongly encouraging it, would you like to see, regardless of vaccination status, people wearing them, or is it only for non-vaccinated?
I think it's for everyone.
Everyone, okay.
Even though I'm fully vaccinated, as you know, I have now an 8-month-old grandson, and I'm very conscious of the fact that he's not going to be vaccinated for a long time. Mm-hmm. And to be around him, I want to be sure that I'm not accidentally transmitting it. One of the things we're reinstituting for our town employees is mandatory testing on a regular basis. That's something we stopped doing when we thought we were, high rate of vaccination and so forth. But now that we know that this Delta variant can infect you even if you are vaccinated or potentially can do that, we want to be sure our town employees, the ones who are not vaccinated, either they won't tell us they've been vaccinated or they admit they have not been, we're testing them weekly, and then people have been vaccinated on a regular rotating basis. So that's something we're doing in Town Hall and our other municipal facilities.
We're talking to First Selectman Jim Marpy of Westport. Something that was brought up during one of my previous discussions with another city leader, actually this week, Jim, the question was, what are we doing to make vaccine clinics more available? The beginning of the summer, we saw mass vaccination clinics shut down across the state of Connecticut. A lot of places that had regular, places open during the week, those were starting to shut down because people, quite frankly, just weren't showing up. We were using resources that it was silly to do so. But now that we're seeing cases pop up again and we're pushing harder than ever to get people vaccinated, are we going to start creating more places to have the vaccine available so people even know where to go to get it?
Well, as a matter of fact, the Westport Weston Health District, which is the health district that serves Westport, Weston, and Easton, is gearing up to offer vaccination clinics again. They had stepped back from that for just the reasons you pointed out. The people who wanted to get vaccinated had gotten vaccinated one way or another. The level of attendance in those clinics had fallen off dramatically, but we're getting ready to gear up for that, and also beginning to think about what does it mean in the arena of booster shots as we move into the fall.
Yes.
And I mean, I think about myself coming up on a kind of the 6 month window here of being fully vaccinated, and is it important for me, since I'm older than 65, to get a booster shot? And you know, the messages aren't quite clear yet from the CDC or our Department of Public Health, but I think that's yet something else we're going to have to be considering. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I keep encouraging people, if you haven't been vaccinated, please get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing you can do, I think, in this crisis, to protect yourself, but protect others as well. And I've reiterated this in my statement yesterday that, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but we're all in this together. And I think it's important that people understand that.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, before I let you go, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to Mitch Gross earlier on my show this week from Eversource. And it's crazy to think, but I remember this time last year, you and I having conversations, because Westport was one of the standout places where 95% of your town at one point was completely out. The power was out during Tropical Storm Isaias. And I know Mitch Gross came on the show, said that in the last 12 months, between what PURA has put forward and what Eversource has been working on, they feel that they are leagues ahead of where they were last year. Following what happened last year, how do you feel with the power companies and how Westport is being treated?
Well, I was fortunate enough that I heard Mitch on your program the other day, and I would agree that there are steps that have been taken. We're a lot better off. I was one of the first selectmen, the mayors, who testified in front of the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority and the state legislature. Yes,
yeah.
And to make clear that we were not pleased with the response by Eversource and the other utilities. The problem is things like our cable services and whatnot, and telephone services are regulated at the federal level, not at the state level. So that's frustrating. But I will say we had a little bit of a dress rehearsal back in early July when Tropical Storm Elsa threatened us. Fortunately, at least for this area, it didn't turn out to be much of a storm. I could observe that Eversource had put crews in Westport at the ready, and that we'd improved our communications protocols and our updating protocols. That was actually the core of our frustration a year ago, that we didn't know where the Eversource crews were.
Right, the communication was terrible.
It fell apart. So I think we, my team, my management team, my emergency management team, I think feels that we're in a better place. You know, we still haven't been tested. I was also reflecting, and I think I mentioned this last year, it had been 8 or 9 years since we had dealt with a big storm here in this area. So, you know, a lot of people have moved in and are not used to the fact that trees fall on wires and wires mm-hmm. fall down and no power and so forth. So the town had to relearn, you know, how to react to a storm, how to be prepared. We learned that this remarkable device of AM and FM radio is maybe the only way to communicate when your power runs out on your cell device. I think in the 8 years since Storm Sandy, 9 years now, we depend more and more on our cellular wireless services for everything.
Yeah.
And as a result, when battery power ran out on the transmission towers and the canister antennas and so forth, we were having difficulty communicating. But I think we've learned some things about that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
mm-hmm.
speaking of communicating, I don't know how well it publicized this, Ben, but this afternoon at 2:20 p.m., FEMA is going to do a nationwide test of its emergency alert system.
Yes.
So I want to be sure your listeners are not shocked too much when their phones and devices presumably start warning them. I think everything they'll put out says test, but that's always a scary thing when you start getting those messages on your phone. So that's this afternoon, by the way. But that's an example, though, of making sure we're prepared for whatever comes next.
Exactly. No, and I appreciate the heads up. Jim Marpy, First Selectman of Westport, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Mayor Ben Blake is standing by. Good morning, Mayor Blake.
Good morning, Melissa.
So I'm seeing almost every single city in our listening area make decisions on either strongly suggesting, encouraging people, regardless of vaccination, to wear a mask indoors. But then you've got cities like Bridgeport, Norwalk, and Stamford this week putting the mandates in place. Milford is the only one I don't have an answer on, so...
Okay.
What's going on?
Well, the good news is that Milford, we have a very high vaccination rate, and we're urging everybody to get vaccinated, and we are urging everybody to take sensible precautions, like wearing the masks indoors if you can't socially distance. We are also... making sure that, the rest of the community remains safe, taking a whole bunch of other precautions and protocols. And we are monitoring the situation. We have not issued any recent updates, but we have had a longstanding order in place for all city buildings where we require masks to be worn in city buildings by the public, regardless of vaccination status. And we're continuing to roll out vaccination clinics citywide, but we do have a vaccination rate almost 70% for all eligible people in the community. So that's the good news.
Okay, so Milford is looking really good. So I just want to make sure I've got this straight, Mayor Blake. Nothing has changed as far as an indoor mask mandate. If you walk into a restaurant, grocery store, retail outlet, gym in Milford, you are not required, if you are vaccinated, to wear a mask inside.
Private businesses and institutions, they can require masks. And there's also the state mandate that continues to exist, that requires masks indoors regardless of vaccination status for things like healthcare facilities, public transportation, private transportation, child, elderly care, that kind of thing. Anytime there's a situation where vulnerable people are at issue, there are those mask requirements, regardless of vaccination status. And again, I think that things are going to change as we monitor and as the data changes.
But as of right now, on August 11th, there is no mask mandate indoors in the city of Milford.
Except for those facilities that do
that
require
already were
them,
in place.
Like City of Milford buildings.
Gotcha. Okay. I wanted to make sure I had that right, because I know it's a little confusing for people. Of course, you hop from town to town, and it's totally different. You hop from city to city, and it's very different. So a mandate versus, encouraging, it can get confusing for our listeners. But it sounds like things are staying the way that they were before the cases were kind of going up in Milford, at least for now.
Yep. Each day, continue to check back.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. We're talking to Mayor Ben Blake in Milford. And Mayor Blake, I'm curious, I can't help but notice, I'm excited the Oyster Fest is coming back to Milford. But when you say we've got protocols that we're working on with COVID, I would imagine there might be some things having to do with Oyster Fest. I don't know if you can comment on that.
Sure. The Oyster Fest committee does a great job each and every year. There were some additional challenges and hoops to make sure that everybody stays safe, because it is Connecticut's largest event. We have approximately 50,000 people to send on the downtown. And when there's that volume of people that come in to enjoy the fun and the sun and the oysters, we really have to make sure that we are being safe. And so the Oyster Festival committee changed some things around to make sure that there weren't a whole host of folks in a tight spot. They did things like they switched over the Oyster Eve from the west end of the harbor over at Lisbon Landing Marina to over by Fowler Field, so that there's more space, a larger footprint, so that folks can spread out and still have fun. They did a whole host of those type of things. One of the neat things I thought that they implemented was that we are going to have the vaccination vans. We're going to have a vaccination clinic in the Milford Bank parking lot. And every person that comes to get vaccinated gets a free plate of oysters.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, Mayor Blake, which I do want to talk more about the Oyster Fest, but you just prompted a question in my mind. Is the vaccination site that was over by City Hall, is that still available to people every week?
There are vaccination clinics that our health department is working with the Department of Public Health to stand up on a very regular basis. The one that we had teamed up with Yale New Haven Health at the Parsons Gymnasium, that has been decommissioned for now. Mm-hmm. That is not a full-strength vaccination clinic anymore, but we do have pop-up clinics each and every week that our health department and the State Department of Public Health are standing up. So we are coordinating with our schools to make sure that those folks 12 and over are able to get vaccinated before they return to school. We've had a lot of success. One of the secrets to the success of getting our young people vaccinated, those between 12 and 18, has really been through, you know, the schools and the athletic directors and the coaches that are encouraging kids to get vaccinated. And so we have a higher rate of vaccination among those folks than a lot of other places.
That's interesting. Mayor Ben Blake is here from Milford. The reason I say it's interesting is Mayor Blake, as you know, because you and I have become friends off the air, my son is going to one of the Catholic schools in Milford. And I thought it was interesting that the deacon there announced that even they are going to put a mask mandate in place for schools. So I would imagine, without sort of jumping to conclusion, are the public schools in Milford requiring masks for the start of the year?
It is a wait-and-see approach in Connecticut. I know that school districts in other parts of the country have actually already gone back, especially in the South, where they return a little bit earlier. And a lot of those southern schools have included mask mandates. But Milford, we don't go back until around Labor Day weekend. So we have a few more weeks in order to kind of look where the data brings us. And again, my understanding is that it's likely going to be a statewide decision.
Okay.
Again, the local health departments are monitoring the situation in conjunction with schools across the state.
That's interesting. So it's not going to come down to municipalities. You think it's going to be a state decision if kids are masked?
That's my best guess.
That's your guess.
Because what happens in Milford impacts what happens in Stratford and West Haven.
Sure.
And so far, it is a game of cards when you're dealing with a pandemic.
Mayor Blake, I am excited. The Oyster Fest is coming back to Milford. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was the Oyster Fest canceled last year because of COVID? It was, wasn't it? Am I
pretty
crazy?
Much. There were some local celebrations, but it was not officially on. It was certainly not at the scale and scope that it normally is.
Okay, that's what I thought so. Okay, so tell us about this year. What do people need to know? First of all, if they've never been to the Oyster Fest, what is it?
Well, it is a tradition of family fun since 1975. So 47 years of celebrating the rich history of our shellfish tradition in Milford, and there's also a whole host of things. You know, my favorite event is the Mayor's Cup, which is a canoe, kayak, outrigger, and sup race. Back in the day, used to go all the way from the head of the harbor all the way out to Charles Island. Now it is a little bit different, but it is a race that starts bright and early in the morning. Get down there early to register around 8 o'clock. And the rest of the day has a whole host of festivities, too, you know, from arts and crafts, exhibitors on the green to classic car shows. There's children's entertainment. A lot of people only know it for, you know, the main acts. This year we're featuring Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. And I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan. So if you know anything about Bruce Springsteen, you know about Southside Johnny.
Yes, and what an incredible event that's going to be happening. And I know before the break, you and I were talking a little bit about some of the things that were put into place to make sure people are safe. First of all, are you guys doing capacity limits for this? Is it a ticketed event? Are masks going to be required? Any of those details at this point?
Well, it's exclusively outside, so masks are not required outside, but there are going to be some protocols in place that deal with capacity, and there's going to be, you know, additional sanitation stations and things of that nature. And there are some protocols that the Oyster Festival Committee has rolled out in conjunction with our local health department to make sure that everyone is safe.
And when again is the festival?
It is always the third Saturday of August. This year it is the 21st, and there's a Oyster Eve tradition the night before, too, which is a little bit smaller in scale.
Okay. So, I mean, very exciting stuff. And is there anything at this point, Mayor Blake, like are there metrics or anything you're looking at that would cancel it or downsize it at this point?
There is. Some of the things that we normally have are not going forward. For example, the oyster eating contest is not moving forward. However, the oyster shucking contest will be here this year. We're also looking at, you know, scaling down some of the events. Again, we have another week and a half plus to make some of those decisions, but the health department is monitoring the numbers. They are working with the Oyster Festival Committee to make sure that it is going to be a safe event.
Mayor Ben Blake of Milford, thank you so much for coming on, giving us the extra time this morning, and we appreciate it. We'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Take care, Melissa.
Thanks, you too.
Connecting commerce to your community. Bridgeport Regional Business Council President and CEO Dan Onofrio is on the Lissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
Good morning, Dan. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm good, Melissa. Good morning. Welcome back for yourself, too, right?
Yes, I know. Yeah, the two of us were on vacation. I don't think it's been, you know, like 3 weeks since I've talked to you, so I'm glad to talk to you this morning.
You as well.
So it's interesting, Dan, because other cities have decided to do the same thing that Bridgeport is, which is an indoor mask mandate. And some business owners have said this is a recipe for disaster to bring back the indoor mask mandate, specifically places like gyms or even certain retail stores, restaurants. What are your thoughts for Bridgeport now that the indoor mask mandate is back, regardless of your vaccination status? Is this going to be bad for business?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough one. We were talking with Paul a couple weeks ago when you were away about this. And, you know, it's a catch-22 because at the very beginning, right, a couple weeks ago, the governor was like, well, you know, we'll let businesses kind of decide while they were mulling over the trends. And that's bad, too, because you get, you know, it puts a little bit of a pressure on the business owners to make a decision. And consumers then are, you know, either abiding or not cooperating with the businesses that want you to wear the mask and say, well, you know, it's not mandated or it's not required or, you know, so it puts a little bit of a stress on the employees, on the business owners. So I'm of the opinion that it's better to have a clear decision one way or another, right? Because now at least you have a fallback as a business owner and as your employees, you have a fallback to say, hey, look, you know, it's a requirement of the municipality and the state and the CDC. So from that perspective, it makes it a little bit easier from an enforcement perspective. Now, the bad side of that is because of the requirement, certainly, as I said to Paul last week, the consumer confidence is what is going to take a hit. And I think it's going to deter people from wanting to go back out again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only from the inconvenience perspective, but just again, from the confidence level of, you know, there's that fear out there and people are like, well, you know, I don't want to contract this thing. So it's really it's a tough spot for businesses, period. And, you know, that's why I believe, you know, if we can just continue to focus on educating people to get the vaccine, I know there's a good number of people that just don't want to do it for whatever the reasons. But if we can educate those that are on the fence and get them, you know, to get through to whatever decision they would like to make on the vaccine, I think that's our best play right now to continue the education and hopefully continue to get people, you know, more and more people vaccinated.
Do you know, Dan, if there are other places in Bridgeport, businesses or venues that are going to be hosting more vaccine clinics? It's been pretty obvious that major vaccination sites across the state have shut down because people are virtually not showing up. But I didn't know if you had heard any rumblings in Bridgeport of more vaccine clinics opening up, because one of the biggest reasons, unfortunately, that people aren't getting the vaccine still is because they say they don't have access to it. They don't know where to find it. They're, you know, not listening to news, let's just say, for example. So have you heard anything of more vaccine sites opening up?
I haven't heard any specific in terms of major facilities, you know, offering, you know, clinics and things of that nature. I did see and hear, though, that, you know, even with our own organization, you know, a lot of the indoor events that we're planning in the upcoming weeks, you know, we're talking to a lot of folks to set up a vaccination, you know, outfit. In fact, on Monday, we're doing a job fair up in Trumbull in a similar situation there. So I think you're going to continue to see the satellite pop-ups of these vaccination centers along the way. But also, I'm hearing that, you know, we're almost at a point where doctor offices are actually going to be able to administer the vaccine as well. So, you know, your local physician in the coming weeks and months will be able to do it as well. But I just think there's still a lot of misunderstanding of what the vaccine is and its impact. And I just believe we just got to continue to educate people and get the facts out there for folks. Because, even in my short conversation with some business owners and some people, I was at a food drive on Saturday over at Wade's Dairy. And a couple of people, you could tell, they're like, well, you know, I don't want them to put the virus in me. And it's just not true, you know. So I think we need to do better of a job of continuing to communicate, educate, you know, the vaccine and its impact and ultimately, you know, the benefit of it, you know, so that we can move on from this. Because, you know, no one wants to go back to wearing masks. But, hey, if it means protecting yourself and protecting your family and protecting the people around you, it's a minor inconvenience. You know, as long as we can, you know, defer and stay away from, you know, having any kind of shutdowns again, I don't think we can afford to get back to that place. So if this is what it takes, then let's just do it. And we got to take the bull by the horns and do what we can, right?
Absolutely. I agree. Dan Onofrio is here of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. And Dan, I have to be honest, I thought about you almost every single day I was on vacation last week, not only because I hadn't talked to you, but because where we had rented a home in Delaware, there was an M&T bank right at the tip of the neighborhood. And every time we drove out of the neighborhood, I thought, man, I can't wait to talk to Dan Onofrio, because this M&T bank merger with People's Bank, I mean, it has drummed up so much drama for very good reason. And M&T is the most recent to come out and say, we've got 1,000 jobs available, and the first to get the offer would be people who currently are employed by People's Bank in Connecticut. Is that a cop-out?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to connect with the M&T folks, or nor the people, since I've been away and back. And, you know, I did reach out while I was away, because the announcement had come about the layoffs, and they had started to execute on a lot of those. And I did reach out and say, hey, look, you know, anything I can do to help, you know, we're obviously here as a resource for not only your employees, but, you know, from a messaging perspective and just a better understanding, especially for the city itself. You know, obviously they employ a lot of people. And anytime you have, you know, mergers and acquisitions like this, you know, there's going to be a reset. There has to be, from an operational perspective. You know, the reality of, you know, having duplicate IT departments and marketing departments, you know, there needs to be some kind of consolidation along the way. But I do believe M&T is sincere, you know, from the early conversations when the announcement happened earlier in the year, that this was going to take place. M&T is a community bank. I mean, they understand the value of their employees, but the relationships that they have with and the significance they have within the communities they operate in. So I do believe they're sincere in the opportunities that exist. What those opportunities may be, I don't know if they really know still. You know, I think there's still a lot of fleshing out that needs to happen. And, you know, of course, we want those employees to have jobs here in Bridgeport. I mean, it's significant. It's important to downtown, you know, having those people come back to the office at some point. You know, I know that there's still a lot of folks working remotely. But, I think we're fortunate to have a bank like M&T to be able to take over the legacy of People's. I know People's have had a tremendous history in Bridgeport. I think they are sincere in their commitment to them, you know, having Bridgeport be the Northeast regional headquarters. What that looks like and how that shakes out from an employment perspective, I think, remains to be seen. But I do believe that, but they're committed to Bridgeport, and I do believe that there, you know, there's going to be opportunities for people. It just may not be the same opportunities that we've been used to, and the employees that have been used to. So, you know, I just want to extend, even here via the radio here, that, you know, our office, the BRBC, is here for not just M&T and People at the higher level, but also their employees. We've got a lot of resources for people that are looking for, that are in transition. So, you know, we're here to help.
But Dan, despite the bombshell announcement, it sounded like this was not discussed in the initial announcement that we were going to see over 700 people in Connecticut laid off because of this merger. So you're still good with the merger. I don't want to say that people are getting laid off, but you still think this is a good deal, regardless that people are inevitably going to lose their jobs.
I think so, Melissa. You know, look, at the end of the day, it's better than people shutting it down and moving out of town, and you got some other, you know, organization, to, you know, taking on the branches, or branches shutting down. You know, I think it's a positive sign when you know, Peoples before the merger and acquisition announced that they were shutting down all of their Stop and Shop locations. They've come back now and they've been able to work out based on the footprint of where these are and where their physical branches are outside of the Stop and Shop locations. I think they've been able to identify several, a couple dozen or maybe even more locations, Stop and Shop locations that will remain open. So, you know, again, anytime a business is acquiring another one, it takes time to understand, you know, where the overlaps are and where they can gain some efficiencies and where they're going to be able to operate at peak performance and service to people. So does it stink that, you know, people are going to lose jobs? Absolutely. Hopefully, you know, the numbers aren't quite as high. Hopefully the banking industry, because even the banking industry at a broader perspective is changing with the whole pandemic. I mean, more and more people, I think the drive-thrus are still pretty busy. Mm-hmm. People still aren't quite going in. So the whole model, I think, of banking is changing as well. So having an organization like M&T expanding its breadth here in Connecticut, I think is a good thing for Peoples and again, carry on the legacy of Peoples. And, you know, it stinks that people will lose jobs, but I think that's just the reality of any time you have a merger and acquisition. We just hope that it's not as many as what was initially announced.
Mm-hmm. Dan Onofrio of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council, always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
You too, Melissa. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.